Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. This is episode 74, and today's topic is, are HMOs a lot of work? Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Whittaker-Large, and I'm here to help you create a profitable HMO portfolio. Whether you're a brand new investor or you've been at it for a number of years, my podcast is here to help you make the most from your business, whether that is starting up, scaling, or systemizing. Please hit the subscribe button to make sure you never miss an episode. And if you've got an awe-inspiring project, an inspirational investing story, or a unique approach to HMOs, I'd love to hear from you. This week, I had a really good call with somebody who was weighing up whether to start investing in HMOs. And, you know, I love to give away half an hour of time, no more than that, half an hour, to help people make that decision, because it's quite a critical decision. If you're wondering about HMOs, then I think today's podcast could really help you too. On the 10th of December, I'm running my very successful How Can I Invest in HMOs? Online training day. It starts at 9:30 in the morning and will finish by 4 p.m. It's a live online training, and I'd love to meet you there. If you've ever wondered whether HMOs is the right strategy for you, if you're trying to weigh up whether this is the next step for you in your property investing journey, please come along. We'll be talking about relevant issues that are facing HMOs today, such as energy prices. How do you deal with the increase in energy prices? Can you still make a profit? We'll be looking at mortgages and interest rates. What do I think is going to happen over the long run? Is now still a good time to be investing in HMOs? And we're also going to be thinking about the market. What's currently happening? What are the trends? This is not a rehash of old training. This is brand new training for this second half of this year. And it's going to set you up ideally in 2023 if you're looking to get started in HMOs. It's not all chalk and talk. I want to hear from you. What are your concerns, your questions, your queries? I want to make sure you leave that day with a clear plan of action and clear next steps about what to do in 2023. It's absolutely free to join. The link to join is in the show notes below. So please register now for your place on How Can I Invest in HMOs in 2023. On the 10th of December, 2022, starting at 9:30 in the morning. I look forward to seeing you there. The call that I had with this very nice chap was really focused around his impending decision as to whether he should put his hard-earned cash into HMOs and grow that as a portfolio. And he started off by asking me, are HMOs a lot of work? And I thought this is a really good question to ask, because it's far better, isn't it, to have thought about what you're going to be doing, to crystallize it before you get started, to have a plan, but to have a realistic plan that helps you to understand whether what you're attempting to do is actually achievable or not. So if you already have a very, very busy lifestyle, maybe you've got an incredibly demanding job, you've got young children, you've maybe got some other commitments at the weekend, it's possible that HMOs is not going to be the greatest strategy for you, because you do need to put some time into it. Now, the first part of working with HMOs and the first aspect of time, if you like, that you need to consider is finding it. This is the first of my five steps. And finding it is all about finding a good deal. You might be lucky and live in a fantastic area where properties abound, where you can get good deals quite cheaply, and where the rents are good, so you're going to get good yields as well. But, you know, that's not true for most of us, is it? Let's be honest. Many of those areas have already been nabbed by other investors, and they always took those deals 10 years ago. If only we'd been investing 10 years ago. Well, actually, we were investing 10 years ago, but you might be thinking that yourself today. If only I'd started investing 10 years ago. Okay, but don't let that regret hold you back. Now is the second best time. If you couldn't do it 10 years ago, do it now. But it will take some of your time. You're going to have to do a bit of analysis. You're going to have to figure out where is the best place for you to invest, and also understanding what you need from an HMO property, what size rooms you can create out of that property, what the amenity standards are so that you can get your license. There's going to be a bit of background work to do, a bit of research, and that's going to take some time. Let's assume you know all of that, though, and you start doing your viewings. It could take you a few weeks before you find the right property. And there's lots of people I work with who take months and months sometimes to find the right property. And then suddenly they find three, a bit like buses coming along all at once. And then they've got to choose between these three. So that's when I say to them, well, make sure you've already lined up your finance and potentially got some investor finance behind you as well, because there's nothing worse than finding three amazing properties and only being able to buy one of them. But all of that is going to take time. So in the initial stages, I would recommend that you give at least 5 hours a week to this new business venture, because that's what it is. It is a new business venture. And in any new business, if you don't give it enough time, it's like a child, a little baby, or a new pet. If you don't give it time, it's just going to fade away and die. And too often, people do not give HMOs enough time in the early days to really understand the strategy, to plan for the strategy, and to make it happen. You need momentum. You need to start seeing results. Results are what drive us as human beings to believe that we can do this. And if it takes too long to get those results, you might start to feel a little bit uneasy about the strategy. You might start to think about other strategies like serviced accommodation or commercial conversions or even single buy-to-lets, when really you haven't yet fully explored HMOs because it hasn't happened for you yet. So don't make the mistake of giving yourself too little time in the early days. But it doesn't need to be more than about 5 hours a week. Now, let's imagine you've found this property and you are starting to buy it. You're going through the conveyancing process. Things often slow down at that point because, you know, we're using a solicitor, an estate agent, and they tend to do a lot of the work. Apart from providing paperwork, there's not much else you can do at that stage. But you can, of course, start to prepare for the next step, which is finishing it. And finishing it is all about how to take that property from a normal, let's say, a family home into a lovely 5 or 6 bed HMO. It's going to require preparation in terms of your plans. It's going to need you to write out a specification for your builder, perhaps get some quotes from a local builder. Again, probably about 5 to 6 hours a week should you be able to cover that. All of the work should be able to, you'd be able to do that in your evenings or your weekends. If you've got a good builder who is willing to project manage, that will also save you quite a bit of time. You may have to pay a little bit more for that, but of course, that's one of the benefits of creating a profitable portfolio, is that you can pay people to do some of those jobs for you. And in the long run, it's usually much better to do that because it saves your time where you can be focusing on income-generating tasks like raising money from other investors or finding more deals. Or, for the short term at least, swapping your time for money in your day job. That's equally valuable, particularly when it comes to getting mortgages and loans. The first few months, therefore, are going to be ones which are going to probably require at least 5 to 6 hours a week as you set up your very first HMO. The biggest question, though, I get asked is not that first part. It's not the finding it. It's not the funding it. It's not the finishing it. But once that property is ready, all the rooms are finished, they're beautifully staged, you've got all those matching bed covers and cushions, and the walls are looking amazing, the lighting is fantastic, you've had your photos done, and you're ready to advertise. What is the next step, and how much time will that take you? Well, this is a very important moment because it's really decision time. Are you going to manage this HMO yourself, or are you going to hand it over to an agent to manage? Now, there's pros and cons in both approaches. The way that I did it was that I managed my own HMOs because I just simply couldn't find a good local agent that I trusted to fill the rooms better than I could. And after I'd reached about 50 rooms, I then realized that I couldn't actually do this all on my own. And that was when I brought on my first member of staff. But up till then, 50 rooms, I was managing all those properties on my own. I was managing the tenants, I was managing the maintenance queries and any issues that cropped up. I had a small team of contractors that I was working with, and I could outsource those jobs. And I was also trying to systemize my business at the same time. By the time I got to 50 rooms, I was making a good income from my property, of course, which meant that I had some spare cash to be able to start developing my team. So right at the beginning, It's a decision you're going to have to make. It's a decision you'll be faced with. Do you do it yourself? Do you utilize the time of somebody else? It partly depends on how far away you're going to live from your HMOs. Luckily, I live very close to my portfolio, so I could do it. But if you're living 100 or more miles away, it might not be practicable for you to do it. And therefore, you'll have to hand it over to a managing agent. That could be the right answer for you, though, because it means that you can then concentrate on doing the more important roles, which are systemizing your business, finding more deals, and finding more money. Because unless you're going to grow your business, you won't necessarily hit that velocity that allows you then to give up your job and create a whole different, amazing lifestyle. And after all, isn't that what this is all about? What time does it take then? Well, if I was to let you have a sort of a seat on my shoulder during the week, you'd see that I probably spend about 4 hours a week in my business, really not very much time at all. And that's because I've got a team that manages all the rest of it for me. So we have two parts to our business. We've got the tenant side, which is the letting side, and we have a team of people who rent out rooms. That's their sole purpose, is to rent the rooms out, and as soon as the room has become available, that they go and make sure that that room is turned around as quickly as possible. The repairs are done, the cleaning is done, and we minimize the void. That's crucial in HMOs, that you reduce your void time, because the more void time you have, the more downtime you have from earning income. So that's a really key part of making sure that you manage your business well, is reducing the voids. The other side of the business is the maintenance side. Because if you imagine you've got a house now that rather than just two or three people are living there, you've got maybe six or seven people living there, there's a lot more usage that goes on. When you've just finished your refurb, you'll also find that these new tenants who've moved into your property will be your perfect guinea pigs for snagging, because they will be the ones that find out all the snags. They'll test and use the appliances. They'll find out where all the weaknesses are in your refurb, whether you like it or not. They'll be feeding back to you where a cupboard sticks, or the hinge isn't working properly, or the shower head isn't fixed on properly. All the things that you might have missed in your snagging process, your tenants will find out. And we often say that in the first year of having an HMO, it's often that teething year where you're just going through teething problems. And it perhaps feels like it's never going to end, but trust me, it does. After about a year, it will settle down and you'll be going, hey, this is really okay, because your time input will start to reduce. That is unless, of course, you've got your second HMO up and running by then, which will be great. In fact, that's often the problem that I see people being faced with. Once they finish their first HMO and they've tenanted it, they've learned how to fill it, they've fully tenanted the property, they sit back and then they go, what next? I've got five rooms or six rooms, they're all full. I need another five or six rooms. And the whole thing begins again. That's the beauty, of course, of having a system, is that you can rinse and repeat it. And that's what I teach my clients, is how to find it, fund it, finish it, fill it, and future-proof it. Now, the last part of the system, future-proofing, is a very valuable part of what you should be doing with your time every week. Once you've got your HMO up and running and you've got your tenants in the property, I think on average you should allow yourself about 10 hours a week to manage that HMO. However, those 10 hours can also grow to encompass probably 40 or 50 rooms. When you start, you might feel, oh, do I really have to put 10 hours aside every week for managing just this one HMO? And it does seem a little bit heavy work, doesn't it, for me to say you need 10 hours a week for managing one HMO that's maybe fully occupied. However, the reason I say that is because this is a perfect time for you to start to implement systems. You're going to have to make sure that you've got good systems for keeping records. You need to make sure you've got good systems for keeping all the tenant records, all the requirements that are needed these days to make sure that you're carrying out your tenancies correctly. Secondly, you need to make sure that you're starting to create a rhythm in your business. Now, this was something that I started to do quite early on in my business because I also was working part-time and I had a young family. And I thought, if I don't start to put things in my Google Calendar, deadlines for things like the gas safety check, the electrical safety certificate, when the HMO inspection is going to be, all of those deadlines, I knew that I would miss one of those deadlines. So very early on, I started to use my Google Calendar to write down important dates. This itself creates a bit of a rhythm. So I have annual goals, such as renewing the insurance and making sure that I'm getting new quotes for my insurance every year. Looking at the mortgage, so whenever my mortgage deal is running out, I'm not too late in renewing it and refinancing. Then on a monthly basis, I have certain tasks. Inspecting the HMO, for example, making sure that the maintenance tasks are completed. And this way, you create a rhythm in your business. That's incredibly useful because what it also means is then when you start to have some more profit, you can start to outsource some of those jobs to other people, keeping you at 10 hours a week. Your property business will grow, your portfolio will grow, your income will grow, but your time should not grow. If you are very disciplined about it, if you manage it well, there is no reason why you can't stick at 10 hours a week. For most people I know, that takes up a couple of evenings and maybe a day at the weekend. Now, that sounds quite feasible if you've also got a job and a family, particularly if you make sure that your family are part of what you're doing. You know, if you've enrolled your family in what you're doing, they'll be excited to hear what you're doing and they'll be excited to see your progress. But make sure you encourage them to be part of what you're doing as well so they can see it and they don't resent the time away from them that you'll be spending. As you grow your HMO portfolio, you must recognize this is a business. This is a business that requires time and it requires you to be working on the business as well as in the business. You'll have to learn how to make speedy decisions. Working at speed is one of the things I found in HMOs is really important. For example, when I first started and we got linked up to Spare Room and Open Rent, where we advertised our rooms, if I left it for 2 or 3 days before replying to a tenant, quite often I'd lost the viewing. Now, that viewing could potentially lead to a sale, could potentially lead to a move-in. I realised that really quickly I had to be fast on the uptake. When you start with managing your first HMO, that's also what you'll find, is that tenants want quick responses. If you can't do it, you must get somebody else in who can help you, because the HMO market is a fast-paced environment. People often arrive in the UK looking for accommodation and they need to move quickly. If you are quick and you're sort of, you know, fast to respond, then you will get the deal. You'll get the sale. You'll find the right tenants. If you're too slow, it will just take you too long to fill your rooms. Speed is of the essence when it comes to HMOs. As well as speed to react and speed to take action, it's also important to be fast in your decision making. For example, you'll find within the first few weeks that there will be some maintenance problems. Now, if you don't have a team of people who can help you with this, you're going to be rushing around the whole time, knee-jerk reacting and, taking decisions that perhaps aren't the best decisions. So learning how to create a team around you so that when things do arise, you can take fast, accurate and strategic decisions is really important. It will save you time and it will save you heap loads of money if you can get a group of people around you who can help you to do this. All of this comes into the step that I call future-proofing. Once you've got your HMO up and running and you've maybe been spending 5 or 6 hours a week on it, when it comes to then having it filled with tenants and moving into this next phase, I recommend that you spend more time on the business. Now, although the HMO itself might take less time, this is the point to leverage up. This is the point when you can really start to use some of the profit that you're making to grow the business. Now, it's very easy to think, oh, but I've worked so hard on this HMO. I just want to take the profits out and give up some hours in my day job and maybe reduce down to 3 days a week and I'll lift off the profits of my HMO. Well, just woe there for a minute. If you do that too early, you cannot reinvest. And creating a snowball effect whereby you reinvest some of your profits and save for the next deposit, certainly where you have a buffer there should any maintenance problems arise, is so valuable. You will so thank me, frankly, you'll thank me for advising you not to spend all that income that you're making in the early days, because all it will do is it will stop you from being able to reinvest. And I doubt that with having one HMO, it's going to meet your goal for income. For most people, it's probably four or five HMOs where they're earning sort of £4,000 to £5,000 a month. That's when they can really look ahead and think, do you know what? I can actually give in my notice now. If you want to quit your job, not everybody wants to quit their job, but if you're one of those that wants to give up your job, then certainly a more effective way to do that is to snowball the income you make in the early days alongside carrying on your day job so that you can then reinvest, grow the portfolio, and the compound effect of that will be that you will hit your goal much, much earlier than if you were to take the money out of your portfolio in the early days. Now, the three steps that I normally say to future-proofing are maintaining customers, tenants in other words, managing your HMO, and growing your business. And these are three steps which I would recommend that you think very hard about what they entail for you. Now, if you're using a letting agent, then maintaining customers is going to be about working with the letting agent to help keep your rooms filled. Otherwise, if you're doing it, you're going to probably want to spend 3 to 4 hours a week making sure that your rooms are filled and that your tenants are happy. Managing the HMO is about creating rhythm and systems. As I mentioned earlier, having a tool like Google Calendar, for example, that allows you to plot forward all the deadlines so that every week you can say to yourself, these are the key priorities that I need to make sure that I am adhering to so that my HMO is being maintained. Whether it's by implementing a monthly inspection that you might carry out and then some remedial maintenance work that comes from that. Other things will crop up, of course. Tenants will message you and say, such and such, there's a problem here with the boiler, or, you know, there's a problem with my shower, or the carpet has pulled up on the stair. All these little jobs will often crop up. So you've got to find a way in which it doesn't overwhelm you, but which you can then manage that process to make sure those jobs are getting done, but you're also doing it within that 10 hours a week that you're giving to your business. And then the third aspect of growing your business, this is where systems and processes come in. Not everybody's very good at this, and I have to say, in the early days, I really was terrible at systemization. I didn't really know how to systemize my business. It was only through devising my five steps that I began to think more clearly about what those different steps were and how I could systemize. Nowadays, I've got a team who works for me, and thank goodness they're very good at systems. So they run the systems for me. And it means that we know that we're always covered. So whether it's a tenant that's moving in and they've maybe come from abroad and we've got to do the right to rent checks and we've got to do the ID checks, we know we're doing everything correctly. We're doing everything above board. And we also know that we're managing our HMO correctly in terms of the maintenance and in terms of the legislative and regulation compliance side, which is also vitally important. And with those two areas, maintenance and tenants or lettings, you'll find that your week is very nicely compartmentalized. You should be able to do that in about 10 hours a week. As you grow your business, stick to 10 hours a week. If it's taking you more than 10 hours a week, that's when you need to start thinking about outsourcing. So, in essence, to conclude, with energy, with focus, with determination, you can manage your HMOs yourself. HMOs do take up more work than a single buy-to-let, and probably more than maybe even a commercial conversion might be if you're converting into flats, because at the other end, with flats, they're effectively single buy-to-lets, and tenants are usually a lot more management. They self-manage their own space. In an HMO where it's communal living, you will have a lot more interaction with your tenants. However, I still think that despite that, you can scale up a business which is incredibly valuable, will bring you excellent income, and also capital growth. And if you can commit to those 10 hours a week, you can make this happen. I've seen it time and time again where people have decided, yes, I'm going to do this. I want to change my life. I want that lifestyle of freedom. And I know that HMOs are going to be the best strategy for me to employ to make it happen. I'm absolutely passionate about HMOs. Despite all the whirlwinds going around us, I still feel they are the fastest, best strategy for making residual income on a long-term basis and creating financial freedom. So are they a lot of work? They're certainly more work than some strategies, but if you're committed, if you're disciplined, and if you know what you're doing, you can do it. And believe you me, in a few years' time, you'll look back and you'll say, thank you very much, Wendy. You helped me get there. You helped me achieve what I needed to achieve. Thank you for listening to the HMO Success Podcast. If you'd like to know more about how you can create a profitable HMO business, please visit our website, hmosuccess.co.uk, to find out more. We have plenty of free tools and information for you there, and also on our Facebook group, The Ultimate HMO Success System. We look forward to connecting with you very soon. Thanks for listening.